right now on VFN TV, I have the author, John Newland, of the book, Ordinary, An Ordinary Man's Experience with God, Stories of Adventure, Answer Prayers, Miracles, and God's Voice. We're so excited.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Let me tell you a little bit about John Newland before we actually go into the interview here. John Newland, he's a Christian. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ, husband happily married to Debbie for 48 years. He's the father of two sons, Jonathan, who is a doctor, and Isaac, who is a lawyer, born in Wheeling, West Virginia in 1951, raised in Fort Myers, Florida, graduated Fort Myers High School in 1969, graduated University of West Florida in 1972 with a bachelor's degree, ordained in 1981 at Liberty Bible College. He's a business owner and administrator of Newland Chiropractic. His business has won Best of the Bay Awards for 7 years, has also grown each year for 20 years. When he isn't reading the Bible or praying, he can be found working in his garden, hunting, fishing, or trying hard to listen to his wife so that he might understand her with his heart. His passion is to serve the Lord, meet his wife's needs, and to help others be reconciled and to reach their potential in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited and so proud to be able to be here with John Newland about his book, Ordinary. I want to welcome you to the program, John.
Thank you. Welcome.
And this is so exciting. When I got your book, you know, I was just, you know, I had that moment in time, and you sent me some message about it, you know, and we get a lot of stuff about different books, but when I started reading your book, it just grabbed my heart. You know, it's like a man's book, and just the stories, and it's so timely, it's applicable, but yet it's your life. And I was so encouraged by it. You know, I just couldn't put it down. I was reading nonstop. And I'm thinking, this is good stuff. And then I got asked you, I said, you know, John, we'd love to have you on VFN TV, be part of the program. And you said, yes. Thank you so much for joining us VFN TV, man.
Thank you for having me.
So. I'm telling you, when I was reading your book, you know, the first thing that I read in your book that you wrote about, I think is pretty important, because the question we ask all of ourselves when I was going to write a book and wrote, you know, I Will Fight, is, should I do this? Tell us a little about that, because, you know, you're pondering after all these years of being a successful businessman, you know, and a father and a husband and all these different things you've done. Now you're being challenged about, should I write a book, right? Tell us a little about how that came to pass.
Well, Greg, I've been writing the book for several years, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. and I wanted to know if it was the Lord's will for the book.
Right.
I'm a man that believes you can hear God mm-hmm. and should try to hear God, and that you can actually cultivate yourself to hear God. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a truck in a deserted parking lot. Nobody else was around.
Right.
And as my custom is, I looked up into the blue sky through the windshield.
Right.
And I said, Father, do you want me to write this book? And I said, I don't want to diss you or disrespect you by writing a book that is supposed to be about you, but it's really out of my own ego.
Right.
And so I said, Lord, do you want me to write this book? And God is my witness. Mm-hmm. The radio came on, Greg. Mm. It wasn't on, but it came on.
Wow.
And I heard a man's voice on the radio. And I was a little surprised because it was just a little bit Southern in its accent.
God.
I know. And I think he was trying to reach me.
Right.
And the voice said, why, I've been reading so many books. If I could just sell the books I've been reading, I'd be a millionaire. He said, but I'm looking for a book and I can't find it. I've looked in used bookstores, I've looked in new stores, but I can't find it. It's a book about an ordinary man's experiences with God. And then the voice quit.
Wow.
And the radio wasn't on. So,
wow.
With all my heart, I believe it was the Father giving me confirmation to write this book, and that's why I made the title An Ordinary Man's Experiences with God.
Wow, that's awesome. The word of the Lord is just powerful, isn't it? Sharper than it, it's just like, if there's rhema to God, there's something behind the power of His word. It accomplishes everything it set out to do. We're going to be right back after this break and continue our interview with John Newland. An ordinary man? I don't think so.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m. Or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Many faith traditions have helped preserve the accurate text of the Bible over the centuries.
Not the least of which were the Masoretes, groups of Jewish scribe scholars in the Middle Ages. They recognized the inevitability of human error, and to assure the accuracy of the biblical text, added notes to the margins.
One of the oldest and most spectacular of the Masoret manuscripts is the Aleppo Codex. It's a text of the entire Bible written by a renowned Masoret scholar and preserved over the centuries in Jewish communities throughout the Near East.
Today, the entire existing manuscript is online, maintained by the Ben Zvi Institute in Israel. Scholars and others can view the actual pages of the Codex, look up a verse, or view enlargements of its many sections, a true treasure of discovery.
Engage with the Bible, with this book of all books for all people.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And then, I love the name of your book and all the book, but you know, as men, we're looking for practical application to our lives. And quite often we look at people from a distance and we lift them too high. We don't see the man behind the man that actually brought that to pass. Sometimes we put up barriers not to kind of share our weaknesses. I know some of the things you talked about in your book, I have those kind of things. And it's like, if we're just honest about our life and the realities, that we could encourage more people. Actually, Charles Simpson was on the program recently. Brother Charles Simpson, you know, the founder of Integrity Music, and you know Charles. And he said, one particular minister that works with him said, you know, you remember Thomas, that he didn't believe one of the disciples until he actually saw the scars. And there's some people, they need to see our scars. They need to put their hand into our wounds so they can go, I can relate to that. Because we all have scars, we all have pain. And when I read your book, I'm just like, you just shared it. You know, you're allowing men to connect with that particular reality. It's just powerful. I like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So now, this name of this dog, I know that you have a dog named Johnny Cash, right?
Right.
But the story, I can't even name it. Is it called a Chahula Hula Hula?
Catahoula.
Catahoula. Tell us a little about this Catahoula, right? That's Johnny Cash, right? You're looking right there. Go ahead.
Well, the story of Johnny Cash happened out in the backwoods, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And we were deer hunting. Mm-hmm. I help young men get their first deer, my boys and maybe a dozen other. Right. But there was a young fellow that worked with me, and he didn't practice. Mm-hmm. And so I believe you need to prepare and practice, and therefore he didn't have like the art of accuracy.
Right.
And so he wounded a deer.
Oh, wow.
And we couldn't find it. We trailed it for about 500 yards, and mm-hmm. I was a little more than frustrated.
Right.
And we got back to the truck. It was a bluebird day. I should be happy, 60 right. degrees.
Oh.
And I said, Russell, we need a dog. Mm-hmm. I said, I want a Catahoula. He said, what's that? And I said, it's a Louisiana State dog. And they've been breeding them, they say, for over 300 years.
Wow.
And when I was a boy, I had some that I trained to hunt cattle in the swamps of South Florida.
Right.
And I had one that was so smart. I said, if we had a Catahoula, I could train him to find your deer. So I said, Russell, I know you don't believe like I do, mm-hmm. but I want you to look up in the blue sky. That's my custom. Don't close your eyes.
Right.
And I looked up too, and I said, Father, I'm asking you for a catahoula to please me and to open Russell's eyes towards you.
Right.
And Russell said, amen. Mm-hmm. And when he said amen, I said, that'll work. I said, now we're going to put feet to our prayer.
Right.
I never said that before, mm-hmm. but it just happened like that. And he said, right. what does that mean? I said, get in the truck. Uh-huh. We got in the truck. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to the first house. It just so happened the first house was 4 miles away. Mm-hmm. I later put it on my odometer.
Right.
I said, come with me. We went up to the door. We knocked on the door. A lady came to the door. Mm-hmm. And I said, ma'am, would you consider $50 a month plus expenses to keep a dog? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I couldn't do that. And I said, how come? And she said, well, I breed dogs. Mm. Well, I looked at Russell, and his eyes got big, and I said, what kind? And she said, catahoula.
No way. No way.
So I said, you got one?
Right.
And she said, well, I got a six-month-old named Johnny.
You go, God. That's awesome.
So when he came out, uh-huh. I know dogs that I like. I've had many, 30 work dogs.
Wow.
But I like the way he looked right immediately, okay? Mm-hmm. And so he... I said, she said, well, his registered name is Johnny Cash.
Wow.
And I said, well, that sings to me, that works. So it turns out my wife fell in love with him too. So now he gets to stay in the family.
Confirmation.
Room. Yeah.
Awesome. Right. That's exciting. I mean, you know, that so many people are not specific when they're asking God for things, and some of the best ways that we can be a witness to people is what do they need? What do we need? Let's talk out loud about what we need. Let's ask God about that. I remember sitting down with a mother, a single mother, and she said specifically, you know, I need a car, I need a job, and some difficult situations happened in her life and left her kind of abandoned. So we just sat just the same way, just asked the question, says, okay, let's just ask God right now. You know, no hype, just ask God. And we asked him, so God, would you give her a job? She needs a job, she needs her finances, she needs a car. This is what Father God did. He gave her the best job in town. He gave her a sports car. He paid her bills up, and he did it all on her birthday. Is that awesome? That's just amazing, you know, what God, so often we're not asking him. And I love that, you know, what you did with Johnny Cash and all that. And it reminds me of my dog, you know, Max. You know, I was Caffey's ranch up there in Rome, Georgia, where it's a farm they took over and just they're ministering to different people out there. My wife and I were out there and, you know, going through a lot of that thing called Dream Mountain that you go up and walk to the top of the mountain. So I was literally walking up that mountain, and I'm saying very specifically, you know, every step I take, I'm just like, God, rescue me. You know, I was just literally calling out, God, rescue me. Each step I took, right? And it's a long walk up the mountain because I needed God just to come in and just rescue me. I don't know if you ever had those moments in your life, you know? And so when I get to the very top of the mountain, I was up there where the founder of the college used to sit there and dream, because she started by teaching share ranchers' children, you know, about reading and different things, and the whole college birthed out of it. So she would sit there and dream over the campus so you could see the whole campus. So I'm up there all by myself, sitting on a bench with God, and all of a sudden a dog comes out of nowhere and brings a pine cone and throws the pine, like literally takes it, throws the pine cone at me. I take the pine cone, I throw it back at him. We're literally playing, you know, toss or whatever, you know, he's fetching me basically, and I'm like, what's going on? And that night, the Lord gave me a dream and said, you need a dog. You know, you need a dog. Every man really needs a dog, right? And so, because they're working so hard and not taking that time just to be. And so, it's Berry College in Rome, Georgia. We're in Rome, Georgia. And Truett Caffey is the man that found a Chick-fil-A. It's his place. And so, when I come back, the Lord, I asked my son-in-law, I said, do you know a place that has German Shepherds? Because I fell in love with German Shepherds on in the Sheriff's Department, you know, because the drug dogs and all that. And they said, yeah, there's actually a rescue for German Shepherds, which I didn't know about that. And I go down and I find Max, and that's what he looked like right there.
Beautiful.
He was 8 months. Somebody was going through cancer. Somebody bought him a dog to go through his time of cancer treatment. It's like, that's a lot of work. And so they basically turned him over to rescue. And so he was in a cage, and so I went and sat with him in his cage, and he and I were back against the fence, and we're looking at each other. He looked at me, and I look at him, and then I just felt like we understand each other, right? He's a rescue, I'm a rescue. And that day, we walked out with him, and we've been together for quite some time. It's been many years. As a matter of fact, he's in the last parts of his life right now, which is very, very sad, but he's mm-hmm. been just a faithful, you know, man's best friend. And so I can relate. There's so many men that you know, need a dog. They need to express that part of them. And dogs are so loyal, you know, and they're just such good. So I can relate to Johnny Cash. You know, I have my Mac story out there, but I'm sure there's some men. As a matter of fact, we'd love to hear from men right now. You can comment below. You know, maybe you have a dog. What's your dog story, you know, and how has God touched you in regards to your dog? Maybe hunting dogs, maybe just the dog in that family. But just comment below, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Listen, we've got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Don't miss your chance to get this free book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, where I share a prophetic encounter God gave me about a coming wealth transfer. And this whole genesis of this book and these strategies is to position you for a coming wealth transfer. It's 10 strategies for success, dealing with your belief, your actions, commitments, giving you plans, giving you strategies. I mean, so many things I can't even talk about, but it's yours for free. Go to vfnkb.com and get your free copy now. Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world, but most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the great commission is first to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m. Or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The surge of emotion is going to storm you every day. The only way I know of to face it is to prepare this heart first thing in the morning before you face the day and let His language come to your heart before you do anything else. I have paced the floor, I have heard from my Lord, I have read His word, and I've come to the conclusion with all of the years I have been a believer, the days that have gone best for me are the days where I've heard from Him first. Go early and seek Him so that He prepares that heart of yours and conditions. You don't do that and the emotions will knock you over by the middle of the day. You'll be operating impulsively rather than from the sanctity of a heart seasoned by the sound of His reason.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
You know, there will be a time in your life when someone, something, some event might hurt you so bad that all you want to do in that moment is get back, get even, and take whatever you can from them. I can promise you this, guys. It's never about how much you can take, it's about how much you can give. Forgive them. That's why I forgave that guy for punching me in the street for no reason. That's why I forgave my mother for leaving me when I was a few months old. That's why I forgave my father for hurting me when I was growing up. That's why my brother forgave me for hurting his feelings. If you want real power, learn to forgive.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Think about, you know, when, you know, you were young with your dad and you found this dog, you're in that, you know, the journey about coming back in the car. And it's like, us a little about that, because I'm like, what are you, this dog is pointing while you're going down the road. Tell us about that story.
Well, he was pointing later. Actually, we were on a family vacation.
Okay.
If you can picture an old style big blue station wagon.
Wow, and yeah, I can.
I had my whole family. My two sisters were older. Uh-huh. My little younger brother was a baby. Mm-hmm. Well, he's probably about young four or five. And we were traveling through Tennessee, and we saw a sign that said bird dogs for sale. And you'd have to understand, my family, my dad was a bird hunter and raised me to be a bird hunter. We always had six or eight bird dogs. And where we lived in South Florida, there was just so much open territory. We called it Old Florida. And it was full of quail.
Fort Myers?
Yes, yeah, in the Fort Myers, Lee County area, Collier County as well. And we also had cattle pastures that were woods pastures that were full of quail. So we were always wanting bird dogs. So when we saw that sign, my dad turned around, which was unusual on a trip to stop. And the gentleman was there and had a litter of puppies, but they were too young. And we said, well, those are too young. He said, well, he said, but I've got an older male that's really a good pointer. And his name was Mike. And so my dad looked at me and I looked at him. We knew we wanted to have a plan. But we had three women to deal with. My mother and my two sisters couldn't imagine a dog in the back of a station wagon for Tennessee to South Florida.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize the distance.
Yeah, so we got him in there and he became infamous with them. On that long trip. That's a story about that. But the story is called Mike and the Barking Pig. And one day we were bird hunting and we got into some wild feral hogs. There's so many of them down in South Florida.
What's a feral hog?
It's a wild hog. It's been turned loose many years, many generations before.
Tusks?
The males have tusks. And the females will definitely defend their pigs. So here comes Mike running to me with a baby pig in his mouth. And he wasn't hurting it because he had a soft mouth for handling quail. So he brought it to me and I picked it up. And by that time, the female and all, they'd left. So I said, you know, Dad, can we somehow try to keep this pig? I'll try to nurse him. And he said, all right. So we first put him in a shoebox at home and we give him a bottle every day. And then we put him out at the rock quarry where we had some dogs kenneled for a while. And there was a ramp that would go up to the dog box. And there was about 10 dog boxes, 10 with concrete on the bottom. And that pig would go up at that ramp and then he'd come back down. And every day at 4 o'clock, we would shoot dynamite and it would make a loud sound. 4 o'clock sharp.
Because you're like working in a rock quarry.
I'm working at a rock quarry. My father had a rock quarry. And so when that dynamite would blast, all those dogs would come down the ramp and get at the door of their pen, and they'd start barking real loud. Well, that young pig would come down there and sit and bark just like a dog. And so
it's
just
goodness.
A simple story, but
we
called it Mike and the Barking Pig.
Oh, I love that. A dog named Mike. What was the pig's name? Pig?
Pig.
Oh, my goodness. He didn't get a name.
No, he didn't get a name.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know that you know, speaking of the rock quarry, it's amazing when you talk about your experiences. I encourage you to get this book. I mean, and also get it for you have sons and fathers and you know husbands. I encourage you to get this book because it's just a man's book. You know, talking about these stories. But you talked about you know overcoming fear in the book and how you know some of it was had to do with the snake situation.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Overcoming fear. The first example. My dad was a man's man. He was who John Wayne tried to act like, but he was the real deal.
Wow.
And so we had a hunting camp, and it was way out in the woods near between Sarasota and Arcadia, Florida, bordering the Micah State Park. And we had a really neat hunting camp on a canal, a creek. And then we had, we would sleep eight. And then we had a kitchen that was screened in that was separate from it. And we had a plywood table and benches and we'd sit in there. And one morning we were sitting in that kitchen and we looked up and a great big rattlesnake about 6 feet long was crawling across the camp yard and actually crawled across the bottom of the ramp going into the cabin or the camp.
That gets your attention.
Yeah, and so we all looked at it and my dad said, John, I was only 8 years old. He said, take that shovel and go kill that snake.
Dad.
I know. And if my mother was there,
you
know, she would have never gone for it. And you didn't argue with my dad. And I knew it was like a test. And so I was a baseball player. A snake, they say, can only strike half the body length. We used to think at first the whole body length. But I knew with a 4-foot shovel he could probably only strike about 3 feet.
Okay.
And so I went up to him, and it was pretty simple. I killed him and then cut his head off. But
did he jump at you or anything?
No,
like that?
No. I was quick enough to just whack his head. So I call that one first snake overcoming fear.
Wow. What did your dad say?
He didn't say anything. Right. He just accepted it. But here's what I've learned in the Word, okay? 365 times God says, no fear. Don't have fear.
Right.
So that's our fear is not our portion. If you're out there and you're afraid, you need to look to God, help Him encourage you to be strong. And you've had maybe not killed a snake, you know, to start you off. But that helped me. I've never been afraid of a rattlesnake since then. And God's given me grace to kill maybe 20.
That's so important because fear is our adversary. It's not people. It's not things. It's like, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real, but it appears real.
Right.
And God wants us to be confident in Him.
Right.
Even to the point of understanding we're maybe walking through the valley of the shadow of death and what we're hearing. But I've noticed, and of course, I'm sure I've read it in your life's journey, but how many times did you, that the enemy would tell you that this is it?
Right.
And it's like, God, no, it's not it. You know, even when, you know, Jezebel told Elijah it was over for him at 24 hours, not only was it not over, but he's still alive today.
Right.
He consulted Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
The Lord's like, because you said it was over for him in 24 hours, I will actually take him away in a chariot and I'll bring him back to consult with my son. And I'll bring it back in. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
It's, but just not believing that. And so many men, one of the highest, you know, T.D. Jakes writes in his book about he emotions. He says that so many men in their 50s, it has a high suicide rate. You know, they've lived their life. They've invested their energy. Sometimes they're driven by the current. But when you get around 50 years old, you start evaluating things and looking at things. And the reality is like, sir, it's not over. You know, even if you made bad decisions to this point, you know, that you can say, you know what? I got the rest of my life. You know, there's hope. The fact that you're evaluating your life right now, you're thinking, you know, what have I done? And then maybe people lined up telling you, you know, they're just basically cursing you and saying, blaming you for everything. You can step out of that and realize your life is just going to begin in your 50s. We need you. As a matter of fact, we need the wisdom that you have, your life, your mistakes, and your victories. We need all that. So we need you. We just speak over you. You will live and not die. You will declare the wonders of the Lord and that God's going to use you powerfully. We need you to be sustained for the rest of your journey that God has ordained for you. But that's just so, when I think about that, you know, it's just at the prime of a man's life, the enemy wants to try to snuff him out. But I believe this whole program today is going to encourage those men.
Right.
The understanding, just, you know, where you are in your life right now and how you're encouraging me, encouraging others right now and writing this out. It's very encouraging. Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program as we're going to continue these amazing stories of John Newland, the ordinary man.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.